Bible Study Chapter 5. Put off the old man and put on the new man. The church already called as those without leaven and the reality of holiness. Discard old habitual sins and follow the Word of God. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. That a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. The exhortation to discard sins steeped in old habits and follow the Word of God is an important teaching that God continuously emphasizes to the saints. It means that when a person believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit and comes to know God, his life must not continue to flow in the same direction as before, but it must flow into a life of faith that follows the Lord's will, by the faith that believes the new gospel word of the water and the Spirit. The Bible expresses the life where a human previously lived in sin as the old man. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22 says, "That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." Here, the old customs mean the wrong way of life in which a person familiarly followed sin before knowing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Because these old habits have settled in the mind and actions for a long time, they do not disappear easily. But a person who believes the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, which is the Word of God, cannot live following a sinful life according to the old habits. Also, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 exhorts, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." A person is easily influenced by the surrounding environment and previous lifestyle, but the Word of God renews our minds and guides us to live in the direction for the propagation of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Therefore, rather than trying to maintain his old habits as they are, a saint must live by setting the direction of his thoughts and life within faith through God's gospel word. The work of discarding old habits is not completely accomplished by human will alone, but it is accomplished within a purposeful life of propagating the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. God's word allows us to discern what is right and what is wrong, and the Holy Spirit leads a person's mind to live for the propagation of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. So the growth of faith is not completed all at once, but while living for the propagation of God's gospel, one gradually comes to live a life more for the gospel. Ultimately, the saying to discard the sins steeped in old habits and follow the Word of God has the following meaning of truth. It is to live newly according to the life of faith that believes the gospel of the water and the Spirit, which is the Word of God, believing the Word of God. Therefore, a person's mind and life are gradually transformed, becoming one who lives according to the will of God. Paul conveys the shocking reality of the Corinthian church. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. However, what Paul considered more serious was with those who, even after committing sin, did not try to turn back. This means that this city was a lewd city, a den of crime where such crimes were always boiling over. Therefore, those who had lived steeped in such a life did not try to turn back from their crimes even after meeting the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. This was the result of misunderstanding the truth regarding the gospel of the water and the Spirit. They absolutely had to become those who realize their sins from their wrong crimes, turn back, and live like Christians. You must know the fact that the Lord is not pleased with Christians who enjoy committing crimes. The Lord is pleased with those Christians who offer their bodies as instruments of righteousness for the propagation of the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. The one who pursues only the desires of the flesh after being born again will suffer the disaster of the flesh. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It warns that even after being born again, if a person lives following only the desires of the flesh, his life will ultimately bring about the result of losing spiritual faith. This is because for those who believe the gospel word of the water and the Spirit that saves from sin, it means that the direction of their lives is changed toward God. The Apostle Paul speaks of this principle clearly in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. This word means that the result appears depending on what direction a person lives and what he lives following. A life that lives following only the desires of the flesh will ultimately bring about corruptible and destructive results. Also, Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Here, Paul clearly distinguishes between a life lived following the desires of the flesh and a life lived following the Holy Spirit. The desires of the flesh make a person turn away from God and can ultimately lead to the result of spiritual decline and judgment. The desires of the flesh spoken of in the Bible do not simply mean the natural needs of humans, but mean desires inclined toward sin. Galatians 5, while explaining the works of the flesh, mentions things such as sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, jealousy, strife, divisions, and greed. These things become elements that make a person's mind turn away from God and destroy the community. What is important for a born-again person is that he must not live following the desires of the flesh, but must live for the propagation of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." A life lived following the Holy Spirit does not simply mean an ascetic life, but is a word to live for the will of God and the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Also, the fruit of the Holy Spirit appears in the life of a person who lives by the faith that believes the gospel word of the water and the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 speaks of fruits such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits show a completely different direction from a life lived following the desires of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 speaks of fruits such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits show a completely different direction from a life lived following the desires of the flesh. Ultimately, the word of warning that God speaks is clear. It is that even if a person believes the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, if he lives following only the desires of the flesh, his life will ultimately suffer a loss of faith, and he will not be able to avoid discipline for a wrong life. However, A person who lives a purposeful life for the propagation of God's gospel of the water and the Spirit will gradually grow in faith within God's will and advance toward a life that bears the fruit of life. Paul uses a very strong tone. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Here, the purpose is not ruin but spiritual restoration. When viewed through the lens of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the sins of the world were already passed on to Jesus' body through the baptism Jesus received from John. The judgment of those sins was completed on the cross, and salvation was confirmed through believing faith. Nevertheless, a life that refuses to treat sin as sin becomes one that denies the life of an evangelist of the gospel. Precisely because of this result, Paul mentioned ecclesiastical severance to cut off fleshly indulgence. This is not a punishment, but a spiritual measure decided upon to lead the one who has lost his way to repentance. The one who pursues a direction. Different from the purpose God wants is one who perishes both spiritually and physically. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. The Bible shows warnings in many places that a life pursuing a direction different from the purpose God wants can ultimately lead a person to destructive results, both spiritually and physically. When God created humans, He made them to live within a relationship with God, and He planned that a person's life of faith would become complete when living for the propagation of the gospel of the water and the Spirit within God's will. However, if a person leaves that purpose and lives centered on his own desires and his own thoughts, the direction of his life becomes distant from God. The Bible clearly speaks of this principle of faith. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." It may look right and seem like success in the eyes of a person, but if one continues to follow a path different from the direction God wants, that path can ultimately lead to destructive results. It tells us that a life that has left the standard of faith given by God may look prosperous on the outside, but internally it is a life that is gradually declining and rotting away. Also, the Bible explains the result of a life that has left God as spiritual destruction. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." If one lives centered on the desires of the flesh and the purpose of his own flesh, rather than following the purpose God wants, he will ultimately lose spiritual faith and peace in his heart, and the direction of his life will gradually become distant from God. This fact appears repeatedly in the history of the nation of Israel in the old days, when they lived following the word and purpose given by God. They experienced God's protection and blessing, but when they left God and followed their own ways, they experienced confusion, destruction, and ruin. This is not a simple historical event, but shows the principle of spiritual truth that appears in the relationship between God and humans. However, the message of the Bible does not end at simply emphasizing judgment. God is the one who waits for a person to return when he is going down the wrong path. God exhorts people to abandon their own ways and return to God. Ultimately, a life that continues to pursue a direction different from the purpose God wants leads a person to destructive results, both spiritually and physically. However, God always desires that a person lays down his own way, believes the gospel word of the water and the Spirit of God, returns to God, and chooses the path to gain life. Paul speaks of the image of the Passover. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Here, leaven speaks of the corruption of sin left neglected without being resolved, and rationalized thoughts of the flesh. Following this, Paul makes a decisive declaration. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. This speaks of the truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. That is, it speaks of the fact that the sins of the world were transferred to Jesus' body through the baptism Jesus received from John. The judgment of sin was finished on the cross, and he gave salvation to those who believe by resurrecting from death. Therefore, a believer is not one who lives together harboring leaven, but one who lives by the faith that throws away the leaven and eats the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread spoken of here does not mean creating a sinless life by one's own power, but speaks of one who lives by the faith that believes the gospel word of the water and the Spirit, that has already cleanly washed away the sins of the world. Are you saying to keep away from those who are living without making the propagation of the gospel their purpose? I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. It means that within the community entrusted with the gospel, one must keep away from relationships with those who pursue only their fleshly desires and ignore the purpose of propagating the gospel. This is not to hate or ostracize people, but is a principle of spiritual life to protect the purity of the church and the gospel. The Apostle Paul mentioned these issues in several epistles. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Here, Paul warned against people who speak of faith, but in actual life pursue only their own desires and worldly purposes. Also, in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 18, he exhorts to avoid them regarding people who cause divisions in the church and follow their own greed. Paul explains that such people do not serve the Lord Christ, but serve their own belly. This word means that the community must discern and be on guard, so as not to lose the center of the gospel. There is a clear direction in the life of the community entrusted with the gospel. It refers to a life seeking God's will, a life lived for the propagation of the gospel of the water and the Spirit entrusted by God. However, if a person continuously ignores God's purpose and pursues only his own desires and personal profit, that influence can bring confusion to the entire community. Therefore, the Bible teaches that the church must deal with such appearances with spiritual discernment. However, the teaching of the Bible does not merely have the purpose of ostracizing people. The purpose of this exhortation is twofold. First, it is to protect the community so that it does not lose the center of the gospel. Second, it is to do the work of helping the person going down the wrong path to realize his condition, repent, and return. Therefore, regarding a person who continues to choose a life of pursuing only his fleshly desires without preaching the gospel of the water and the Spirit, what is needed is not unconditional agreement or connivance, but discernment and caution. However, at the same time, the Bible teaches that we must always leave open an opportunity for a person to turn back. Ultimately, the community of the church must not be a community centered on human desires, but a place where the purpose of propagating the gospel of the water and the Spirit is the center. Therefore, the saints must build each other up and encourage one another to live within the direction of the gospel, and regarding appearances that deviate from that center, they must exhort and guide in love and truth. Paul corrects the misunderstanding. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. Believers are not called to be completely cut off from the world. The real problem is the internal condition of the church. That is, those who are called brothers yet refuse to treat sin as sin. Those whom Paul pointed out are those who, despite having the name of a brother, stubbornly persist in sexual immorality, greed, idolatry, reviling, drunkenness, and extortion, and do not repent. The purpose of keeping away from them is not rejection, but to have the assurance of the gospel. The church that protects the spiritual order of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Paul concludes with the following words. What does it matter to me to judge those who are outside? But shouldn't you do the judging inside Christ? The church does not exist to condemn the world. However, the order of the community of faith built upon the gospel of the water and the Spirit must certainly be maintained. Put away from yourselves the evil person. This word is not a language of hatred. It is a final warning toward repentance and restoration. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 throws this sharp question to the church of God today. Are you using God's grace as a shield to hide your sins? Or are you one who is living by faith, believing in the righteousness of God, as one who has already been made clean through the gospel of the water and the Spirit?